You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Zach Gelb in for A-Law, Amy Lawrence right here on CBS Sports Radio. You know the story of Tiger Woods. His last major championship before Sunday was the 2008 U.S. Open. It's been a long 11-year drought where we've seen a major fall from grace, but now we could call Tiger Woods a major champion again for the 15th time in his career. We'll recap everything that did happen at the Masters with John McGinnis, the former PGA Tour player, now doing a great job with SiriusXM and PGA Tour Live. John, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Appreciate a few minutes, and how are you?
You know, I'm overwhelmed, to be honest with you, by what we saw today. I really am. I was there in the back of the room in Milwaukee when he said, "Hello, world." And I was there in the back of the room as a rookie on the PGA Tour who'd never been invited into a media center at that point. So I had to show my credential because nobody believed me that I belonged there. And I'd never seen him. I wanted to see, who is this kid that everybody thinks is going to be the next great? And you know, you think that here we are 20-something, 23 years later, and to have been a part of this for my entire adult life, it's an incredible thing. It really is. It's more than I think it's more than we could have hoped for, and today we got more than we even deserved.
After 2008, no one could have predicted what did go down with Tiger Woods, and when we see this unfold today, where we didn't know what to expect, but you knew he was going to contend and, hey, maybe he was going to find a way to win this depending what everyone else did. And we've seen him come close before at the PGA last year. But with this one, really, we know that the turning point was 12, and then you see him come through, with back-to-back birdies on 15 and 16. And I was ready to celebrate after 16, but you wanted to see what would happen on 17 and 18. The next thing you know, he's in Butler Cabin getting the green jacket. With all that he's been through, some of it his own wrongdoing and things that he had to fix with his family and other things, what he can't control was surgeries. When you saw him put on that green jacket again, just knowing the journey like you were discussing in the Open, what were you feeling when you saw everything happen on Sunday?
You know, the fact of the matter is, there was a time where Tiger winning a golf tournament when he was in contention on the back nine was a foregone conclusion.
We took it for granted.
But you look at who he was in contention with. He was two shots behind Francesco Molinari, who he played with in the final round at Carnoustie, and quite frankly, got outplayed badly by Francesco Molinari, who then beat him three times in the Ryder Cup. So we've got this guy who's probably the reason why there's no Italian food on the menu at the Woods in Jupiter. I think they used to have bolognese, but I think he pulled it off. So, we've got that. We have, by the way, Brooks Koepka, who's won three of the last seven. Dustin Johnson's making a late charge. And I'm missing people here. And the thing is, he withstood all of that, which is amazing, and it had to come this way. It couldn't come easy. You know, 15 has been the hardest number for him to get to for more than a decade, and it had to come against the best, and Tiger had to beat them, and that's exactly what he did. I don't think he's done for the year. I don't think this is his only major championship this year. I am not one of those players who said he was done, because I was there in the beginning, and I saw way too much to believe that it was ever going to end. I'm now in Myrtle Beach for Monday after the Masters with Hideo the Blowfish, and walked in to register with Davis Love and said, "What did you think?" He said, it's amazing, but is it really a surprise?" And I said, "Not to us, it's not." Because we were all there right from the beginning. If you recall, he has 81 wins now. Number one came head-to-head against Davis Love in 1996 in Vegas.
John McGinnis here with us on CBS Sports Radio. I was someone that doubted him. And I grew up major Tiger fan. He's my favorite golfer. 2015, U.S. Open when he was 16 over. I put out a tweet that day, and I said, who are we kidding at this point? And even he doubted himself back at in 2017, and he ends up winning the Masters this year. You know, it's just so fascinating because it's one of those things, and it's one of the great redemption stories where you go, wow, you see a golfer, like you said, where it's you expect him to win every tournament and he's in, and then he goes on this massive time stretch where he's not, you know, being competitive. He's like ranked 1,000-something in the world, and to finally see it happen, it is surreal. But yeah, you also look back and say, well, he's still Tiger Woods. So it's really crazy, John. It really is.
Well, the difference is now, he doesn't have anything physically that the rest of the field doesn't have. There was a time where he was just physically better than the rest of us. He could hit shots that we couldn't hit. He could hit a 2-iron 270 yards. Well, go down the list. TJ has that shot. Brooks has that shot. You know, everybody, Jason Day, keep going. They all have that shot now. So he can't dominate physically, but he didn't forget how to beat Tiger Woods, and he proved that today. And I think he remembered some things today. I was with him, or I was in the group behind him, second to last group last year at the PGA Championship when he made the run. And those roars were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing him go, and I was with Ricky Fowler and John Rahm. I thought, I got the group. I got a guy that's going to win his first major, and it's going to be historic. Well, it turned out that it was Brooks Koepka that won two in a row, and it was Tiger who made the charge, and my guys played terrible. But in because my guys played poorly, I got to watch Tiger that day, at least for part of the day, and you could tell then that this was going to happen, whether it was here or somewhere else. And I said it was going to happen this year. Remember, we're going to Bethpage in a month, where he dominated the field in 02 to win the U.S. Open. And we're going to Pebble Beach for the U.S. Open, where he won by 15 shots in 2000. So Tiger's not done winning majors this year.
So you think it's still very possible that he could catch Jack, obviously, then?
I think if he stays healthy, he catches Jack. I don't think he can have another setback. I think that what it took to get him to here and what it takes to get him out of bed every morning, I mean, he basically has to do a yoga class just to take a five-minute walk now. I mean, the stretching and the things that have been described. He apparently got up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, I saw you said that, 3:45. He said 3:45, 4 o'clock to get ready to tee off at 9:20 a.m. Eastern. You know, you being a golfer, take us through what he has to do to get ready, since you have more insight on it.
I don't know. I never got up. If I had a 2 o'clock in the afternoon tee time, I got up at noon. I have no idea. I mean, obviously there's a whole lot of physical therapy, stretching, and things that are going in. Because he, I do know this, he gets to the golf course about 2 hours before he tees off, and he's usually on the range a little more than an hour. You can usually count on about 70 minutes that he is in the practice grounds doing something, whether sometimes he starts with putting and then goes to the range and then goes back to the putting green. Sometimes he goes straight to the range. I've seen enough of that to know that routine. But what he did for the 4 hours or 3.5 hours before that to get ready, I mean, you assume he ate and did a few other things, took a shower, but there's 2 hours of physical therapy and stretching and in that, and that's how he has to go about his life now. How long can you sustain that, and how many setbacks can you handle at that point? I think that this is it. This, whatever this run is, however long this run is, let's enjoy this one, because we've gotten more than we deserved, as I said, and we can't possibly expect another one if there's a setback.
And he was publicly humiliated, and deservedly so, for what happened with the sex scandal and then also the DUI. But clearly he is in a better mental state now. And I really realized that when it was after round two, where he missed the birdie putt on 17 and 18 to par. And, you know, the Tiger Woods of the past would probably be very annoyed. He walked off, Augusta that day with the big smile on his face. after round two. And then clearly today, you see the family part of it because that was very emotional afterwards.
Well, and I think that that's the biggest part of it. I think that, look, the sex scandal, you know, that was a period of time in his life. That wasn't an isolated moment. It was a period of time that he's not proud of, I'm sure. Not to say that he didn't enjoy some of it, but it couldn't have been a comfortable period of time to get discovered the way he did, than to have it cost him so much. But the DW, I hate to lump the DWI in there. We don't know. I mean, obviously, there was no alcohol involved.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad day. The sex scandal was a bad several months. We all have a bad day on occasion. Now, we don't get arrested for it, obviously, but I think that the second one was the DWI was embarrassing for the family, for him, because he's a father and his kids are old enough now to turn on the TV and see their dad there and see that picture of their dad there. I think that's probably a more difficult thing to handle than all of the horrible things that happened back in 2009.
And it's fair too, because the kids, you know, were so young then, you know, with it.
Right.
So yeah, especially now with social media and everyone having a phone, when you come out of the womb now, you have easy access to seeing it. We're talking to John McGinnis on CBS Sports Radio. We have people that they look at this Masters and they say it's the greatest of all time. Clearly, you look at 86. I wasn't talking about coming out of the womb. I wasn't even a thought in 86. You have a lot more golf knowledge and background on it and perspective. Where do you put this Masters? How do you view this Masters amongst all of them?
I mean, 86 was so special. I was a senior in high school and an avid golfer going on my way to play college golf. And remember it being called in off the driving range. I was hitting golf balls, and the pro at the club said, "You don't want to miss this," when Jack was on 12. And then he makes the putt on 12. He makes the putt on 14. That's the yes, sir putt from Vern.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen it enough times now that I don't think that I would have forgotten it even if we never saw it again, because it was that impactful. I think history tells the story on this one based on the future. And what I mean by that is, if Tiger goes on to win 22 or 23 majors, 15 will be a big part of the story. But it won't be as big a part of the story as if 15 is the last major. And so that's kind of up to Tiger to determine where this one falls. You know, we knew what we were watching with Jack. We knew a 46-year-old that hadn't really contended in any majors in 5 years, that this was kind of a miracle in the making. He was getting rounder and older, and, you know, he wasn't in the gym like Tiger is for 2 hours every morning before he plays. So I think this is an incredible Masters with one of the great leaderboards of all time for the contemporaries that were in it. But if Tiger goes on to win two or three more Masters, I don't know that we're saying that. I mean, I think that we should just appreciate it for what it is, and what it is one of the coolest things we've ever seen.
It is, because, hey, people were calling him back last year, and I was able to see him in person at Aronimink, and it was sensational at the BMW Championship. But for me, you know, being younger, my standard for Tiger is you have to win a major in order to be back, just because that's what we took for granted, saying that's the level that he created with how successful he was. And now you can't question it or not if he's back or not, because he did what people asked for, and that was to win the major. Another cool thing, though, and this is just, you know, with time, I've appreciated the sport more, because there were times where I would only be interested and I would only look at the sport and be happy with the results when Tiger was winning. I went into Sunday, yes, wanting to see him win, but there's so many great stories now in the sport with such a great competitive field. where, you know, you really couldn't control what would happen today. But it's great for the sport when you have not only Tiger playing well, but so many other great stories like Dustin Johnson, Koepka, Molinari, and you know all the names, McIlroy, Spieth, and so on and so on.
You know, I kind of look at it, look, we're all sports fans. Everybody listening is a sports fan. They're not staying up late at night to listen to you if they're not a huge fan of sports. And when I look at my list of sports that I enjoy, the NBA is pretty far down the list because I live in North Carolina where college basketball rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I've fell back in love or fell in love really with the NBA for the first time in the last 10 years. Now, we all loved it when Michael Jordan played, but Michael Jordan hadn't played in a long time. And Shaq and Kobe couldn't get me interested until the playoffs. But there's players now that I want to watch on you know, Tuesday in February or Wednesday in February. And it's not just the Warriors. I mean, I want to – if Milwaukee's playing, if Denver's playing, you know, if the Celtics are playing – I'm going to stop and watch whatever that game is because I've become a fan. I think that's the way that golf is in the non-Tiger era. Now, how long this particular Tiger era is going to last, we don't know. But I think that because of the Tiger era, we're all interested in all the rest of it because it's different. It's a better story to tell now.
So how many more majors does he win this year?
I think he wins one of the next two. I think he either wins the PGA or the U.S. Open. I would suspect that the PGA is a better fit for him at Bethpage, even though what he did at Pebble Beach is mind-boggling. And nobody's ever won two U.S. Opens at Pebble Beach because they only go there every 10 years or so. But Bethpage just seems like it's ripe for the picking for Tiger, the way he's driving the golf ball, the way he's playing. And boy, imagine if you thought the Augusta crowds were loud. Imagine Tiger winning 16 in front of the New York fans.
It would be unreal. There's no doubt about it. Living in New York, I'm definitely going to try to get out there for a day. John McGinnis, former PGA Tour player, SiriusXM PGA Tour Live Now. Thank you for the insight, John. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And hey, don't forget to call your friends at SiriusXM. We do have the live coverage for the PGA Championship, so somebody ought to be able to get you a ticket.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that, all right?
All right.
I'm going to tell them John McGinnis sent me. They'll probably say,
all right. SiriusXM. Not John McGinnis. You got it. We'll get you in.
Thanks, John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.